Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, gentlemen, just 2 days, 48 hours after Baker Mayfield joined the Rams in L.A., he was placed in last night's game against the Raiders, and he sparkled. Baker led a 16-3 fourth quarter comeback to stun the Raiders. Shannon, is Baker Mayfield the future of the L.A. Rams?
Nobody's taking Baker Mayfield over healthy Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford just took this team to a Super Bowl just last year. Skip, last night was the movie, I don't know if you remember, with Greg Kinnear and Jack Nicholson. As good as it gets. That was it.
That was it?
That was it.
Period, end of
yeah,
story.
Yeah, that's it. The adrenaline, the after this, the thrill is gone. We saw what happened with the Colts. They came out and did a number on the Raiders. How they been looking lately? That's it. No, Skip, we know he's a placeholder too, man. So in other words, you said after they just gave Matthew Stafford a new deal, 3 years, $90+ million, does he know what? We like what we saw from Baker. We're moving on from you, Matthew Stafford. We're going to turn the reins over to Baker Mayfield. He's a placeholder. You know that? I know that.
I don't know that. Tell me when it's my turn.
It's not your turn. I give him credit. What he did last night, I mean, Baker Mayfield, first two drives, he was 3 or 4, 65 yards. A field goal, they fumble. The middle of the game, he was 3 of 10 for 20 yards. Drive ended, the half, punt, missed field goal. Then the last two drives, he was 16 of 21, 145, game winning touchdown. Give him credit. But last night, Skip, as great as you said he played, he still only had a 59 QBR. It wasn't like he was 80.
60.
Oh, no, we round. So now we round it up.
Well, it's
so now we round it up.
Yeah. Well, you're rounding down.
Nah. Okay. Even with that, you know what? He did raise his QBR to 23. He raised it up to 23. That's still 6 points behind Davis Mills. He's still 6 points behind Davis Mills. Skip, why do you do this?
I haven't spoken yet.
But I'm saying you do this. You talk about, is he the future? Of who? Of what?
Well, want me to tell you?
I mean, he got a future. Rock got a league coming out pretty soon. Oh, you can go to the USFL. Don't we start kicking that off in April?
Yeah. Or how about the fan control league?
Nah. He's a little above that.
Shannon, you have missed the boat once again on Baker Mayfield.
So he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Rams next year?
Long term, he will be. But here's the first point you're missing. Matt Stafford had a serious spinal injury. He's had concussions. He's got a neck problem. He got his ring. He's got wife and kids. I'm not sure how much longer he's going to play. In fact, there's a chance he won't play next year. There's a chance.
No. What you want him to, like, oh, man, he's got his rag, you got money, you got a wife and kids to think about. And I'm sure he and Kelly are sitting around, they're going to discuss this. But I still don't see Baker Mayfield as being the option.
Okay. So here's the point. Matt Stafford is 34, and 2 months from now he'll be 35.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield is 27, so he's about 7 years and 2 months younger than Matt Stafford. So he's still got a lot of football ahead of him, if you so choose to make Baker Mayfield your future. What did I learn last night about Baker and Sean McVay? I didn't know this story that they had on Amazon Prime last night. I think Kirk Herbstreit brought it up, or it came up in their pre-meeting with the team. Sean McVay was on a flight, a Southwest Airlines flight of all flights, going from LAX to Indianapolis for Baker's combine.
Right.
And Baker was on said flight.
Right.
And when McVay saw him, he waved him over and asked the guy next to him, could we trade places here? And Baker sat for 3.5 hours next to Sean McVay. And according to McVay and Baker, they clicked. No surprise to me. What was their biggest topic? Well, they both like to talk ball. That's what Baker's he is a ball player. That's what he wants to do. He wants to play football and talk football. He does have a high IQ, and they are birds of a feather because they both have a little Hollywood in them. They both done commercials. Now, McVay's in a bunch of commercials just like Baker is, right? And they both have a little bit of that sort of cocky front runner in them in a good way. That's not a negative. And Baker said the main topic of conversation was Lincoln Riley, because McVay wanted to know, what's he all about?
Right.
What does he do? Because he obviously runs a system that produces Heisman Trophy winners, and tomorrow we may get a new one, right?
Yep.
Okay, and Caleb Williams. It sounds like it is. It's the odds-on favorite, right? Unless there's some shock out of nowhere.
It'd definitely be a shock.
Okay, so the point is, Baker Mayfield finally, fatefully connected with one guy who believes in Baker Mayfield. He's not had one coach who loved and believed in him like Sean McVay does since Lincoln Riley. Because remember, Baker said last night, he said, why could I adapt so quickly to all this new terminology? He said, do you remember? I had four coordinators in 4 years in Cleveland.
Correct.
Then he had a fifth in Carolina. And guess who it was? It was Ben McAdont. And I got no respect for him. He seems a little goofy to me. I don't know. And I don't think Baker ever connected with him.
Right.
There was no love there. There was no, because Baker is different. He's against all odds. He's a watch this kind of guy. And so is Sean McVay, right? Okay. Because of that, they are a good click together. And McVay was giddy last night. He was about as giddy as he was that day against Brady when Deshaun caught that touchdown pass, Deshaun Jackson, and ran up the tunnel. Yeah. And McVay ran all the way up the tunnel after
him. He was giddy, Skip, because he was tired of losing. I think they had, lost six straight?
Six.
Six
in a row.
Everybody was giddy. You see how everybody was hugging Baker like he had just won the NFC Championship?
Okay. So what did Baker also divulge? He said that once it was approaching waiver wire time, after he and Carolina had agreed to part ways, so he's going to hit the waiver wire. He said, I went ahead and booked a flight to L.A. because I knew what I thought was going to come down.
Right.
Well, the Rams had the fourth claim because they have the fourth worst record at this point. And he said, I booked the flight because I trusted that Sean was going to take me.
Right.
And he did.
Right.
And again,
he's the only one that put a claim
in. He's the only one who put a claim in. You should take that to your bank because he want, obviously right now they got just two. You say Baker's just a guy. The just the guys are Wolford and Perkins.
Yeah.
Okay. So all the way, although Perkins is the nephew of the great Don Perkins, who ran for my Dallas Cowboys back. I don't know if you remember him, but he was a great runner back in the 60s. But the point is that Baker went to a guy who was clamoring for him, who was just hoping that nobody else would claim him so that he could get him for the last five games and be able to work with
him. I think the thing is, Skip, but the Rams situation was the most dire because you look at the quarterback situation. Stafford was out. Perkins is both guys are street free agents. And he's like, well, you know what? Here's a guy that has played in the league. He has played some good football. I mean, even at his worst, he's better than those two guys that they already had on the roster.
But Sean McVay has closely followed Baker's career, and he knows that he beat Joe Burrow three times with QBRs that average 93. That's pretty good. He knows that he beat the Baltimore Ravens when they were dominating the division three different times. He beat him. He beat him three times with the yards I've told you before against the Ravens. He threw for 376, 343, 342, and 342. Those are four games against the Ravens in his tenure in Cleveland. So he has ability that's proven, and McVay says, I can work with that. So what happened? I kept beating the desk over here when he was at Carolina. What does Baker do underrated best? He rolls out.
Right.
He's best on the run. He was doing some Matt Stafford-esque, you know, some sidearm throws on the run.
He's best on the run because now he can see the field.
I totally agree. I agree. But I'm not saying he's Lamar, but he has some athletic ability.
He's not
a statue. Yeah. He's not stuck in the pocket.
Right.
So he can move a little bit. And once he gets out and starts to move, he's one of those guys who can see the field even better on the move because, to your point, you got a vantage point at 6'1", but he also enjoys that competitive edge of getting out on the – now you're forcing the defense to make moves and make plays.
Correct.
And all the Rams after the game were just raving about what a competitor he is. Okay, so what do he and Sean share? It's a spirit thing. It's that Pied Piper thing. It's that spark. What did Sean say when he claimed him? He said, we needed a spark, and Baker's a guy with spark to him, okay? Well, he is. So he comes in as a guy who can ignite, who can lead, and he's best when he's front-running, when you get on a roll like they did in 2020, because the team will rally behind that. What did I tell you about Carolina? you got to win game number one. And he was really good in the fourth quarter. You can't take it away. The fourth quarter of the opener against his ex-Browns at Carolina.
Right.
He throws for 155 in the fourth quarter. It was kind of like last night and brings them all the way back to a 24-23 lead. And then they got two horrendous non-calls, one bad call and one non-call. And it took a 58-yard field goal, and they lost. Well, if they lost the game last night, we wouldn't be having as much of a conversation.
I think the thing is, Skip, that not the last drive, but the drive that got them back in the ball game. I think that gave them confidence and started to zap some of the confidence. The Raiders started to question themselves, like, damn, are we about to lose another game? We had a big lead. We were in complete control of this ball game until the last 4 minutes of the ball game. Now, you get a first down, you're probably going to win this ball game.
Yep.
But to their credit, give the Rams credit. They kept fighting. The one thing I can say about the Rams, Skip, they kept fighting last night. They have nothing to play for. They're not going to the playoffs.
Mm-mm.
They're down. Their quarterback is out. Their best receiver is out. Aaron Donald is out. A'shaun Robinson is out. But they're still fighting. Give them credit. There's something to be said because I've been on teams and I've been around teams and seen teams. They shut it down.
Okay.
You get somebody get a lead on, like, man, I ain't finna get hurt. I ain't finna have no offseason surge and all kind of bull jive. But give the Rams credit. I will give them that. They kept fighting last night, and that's a testament to Sean McVay, Raheem Morris, that and B-Wags, Ram. They kept on defense. They kept fighting.
So my final point is, the reason I believe there's a great shot that Baker will be the future, I don't know what Matt Stafford's future. Obviously, if he comes back completely healthy and happy and wants to keep going, then he's obviously the guy. I mean, all he did is win the Super Bowl last year. Okay, I got that. But the click between Sean McVay and Baker, I think, will even extend to off the field because both their wives are highly publicized wives because they've been in the spotlight.
Right.
And I think they'll click and they'll be going to dinner together. And I think there'll be a closeness there where Baker will feel wanted and believed in ways he wasn't in Cleveland or Carolina.
Did you see Baker being a backup there?
Yeah, I could see him being an understudy. Mm-hmm. You know, if he thought there's a chance at some point in the next year, two, three, whatever, that I get a shot. Again, he's only 27.
Right.
Sure. Could he be groomed as the next guy? Yeah, sure, he could.
He has that kind of patience, or does he want to start right now?
I don't know. I do think he's been humbled, and there's a new level of maturity in him. And I think being around Sean would be stimulating enough for him mentally and psychologically that he'd tough it out.
I think he might have been humble, but hey, I still want to start. Okay, I understand. You know, I'll be less boisterous. I'll be less in your face, but I still want to start.
I don't know. Just me. I thought Matt Stafford looked a little shook up at the end of the game, just a little bit. Like, what just happened?
I mean, Skip, the man. You just said the man dealing with spinal stuff and neck and all kind of concussions.
Mm-hmm. He is.
Give him a break.
No, I'm giving him a break, but I think the door just got opened.
Really, Skip?
I really believe that. Again, it's fit. This is a fit for Baker Mayfield. Much to your chagrin, it's a fit.
This man just told me Matthew Stafford won the Super Bowl last year.
No, he did. I'm just saying, sooner maybe than later, it's destiny.
It is not.
Yeah.
As good as it gets.
It started on that Southwest Airlines flight, and why they were flying Southwest, I don't know, but they did. So good for them.
What do you think? It'll be cheap.
I don't know.
Well, I will say, when they flew me, I flew Delta. Yeah. I don't even know if Southwest was in existence back when I flew to the combine in 90.
No?
I don't know. How long has Southwest been around? Have they been around 32 years?
Well,
I don't know.
It seems like they've been around. I used to fly them out of Dallas, but they started
Dallas. Eastern and Continental was airlines, along with obviously Delta, United, and American. But Continental and Eastern.
Southwest around in the 80s?
I don't know. Maybe it was, Skip. Maybe they just didn't fly to Savannah.
I know I flew Southwest from Love Field to Houston.
Our airline reviews for another show, guys.
Yeah.
Certainly, Sean McVay waxed poetic about Baker last night. His leadership, his resiliency, his competitiveness. We'll see what he looks like versus the Packers in about 10 days.
Yeah.
Okay. Skip's Cowboys, massive. 17.5 point favorites against the Texans. That's according to Fox Bet Sportsbook. It is by far the largest spread of this season, with the next contest only being 14 points. Shannon, prediction time. What do you think the final score is?
A whole lot to a few.
Mm.
Skip, the Cowboys haven't lost at home since week one. The Houston Texans haven't played a one-score game since week 10. and they've lost seven straight. They're one of two teams that have mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. So with that being said, and now they've just gone back to Davis Mills.
Yep.
After they've tried Kyle Allen, maybe they should try, you know, maybe they should combine their names and can get a decent quarterback out of the two. Look, I think the only thing that Houston Texans are looking forward to now is the number one overall draft pick. And it looked like that's probably going to be Bryce Young. They're in the market for a quarterback. And so hopefully it works out well for them. But if you look at what the Texans, they average 15 points a game, 31st. Nothing says that this game should be close. And so I went with a big monster score. I went 38 to 10, the Cowboys. I said they would win by at least 21. They should win by at least 21. Cleveland, they lost to Cleveland 27-14, 30-15 to Miami, 23-10 to Washington, 24-16. So that was the one-score game, 29-17 to the Eagles. And you look at the Cowboys, what they score, 54, 28, 40. They lost in overtime to the Packers, 31-28, and they dropped 49 bomb on Chicago head. So one thing we know about them, they can score. One thing we also know about their defense, they take the ball away.
They do.
And they score when they take the ball away from you. They normally score or they set their offense up in great field position. I'm saying 38 to 10, Dak and Cooper Rush gets a quarter, at least a quarter to a quarter and a half of play.
Cooper Rush gets to
Cooper
play?
Cooper Rush gets to play.
He sees the light of play?
You know that homecoming. You know that homecoming, you win the game, you empty the bench, hey, yeah. Son, get in there.
Really?
Like, Coach, me? Yeah, get in there, son.
Really?
And don't F it up.
So it sounds like you're seeing the light on my Dallas Cowboys.
Man, skip this thing. Skip.
And it's a bright light.
Skip, the Houston Texans have already been mathematically eliminated from the playoff. What you want me to do?
By the way, I know what I think they should have done.
What?
They should have claimed Baker Mayfield. Am I right? Davis Mills, Kyle Allen, Davis Mills, well, Baker Mayfield.
Well, theoretically, but they do have a worse record. So
that's what I'm saying. They could have claimed him and had him.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
I'm sure Baker's very happy they didn't claim him because he'd much better be a Ram than a Texan.
Yes.
Although Baker did grow up in Austin, Texas, so he is a Texas kid and started out at Texas Tech.
I don't want my family and friends to come see me play for it with it.
I would agree.
Y'all stay away.
So, Shannon Sharp.
Yes.
Would you believe that your score is exactly my score?
Really?
I got 38 to 10, but I told you yesterday I got Cowboys by 28 in this game, and so I thought I'd give Houston a little bit of respect because that little running back's shifty and tough and runs stronger than he runs bigger than he is to me. And so, will they figure out how to win 10, score 10?
You know why I gave him 10? Because I figured Dak gonna throw a pick or he gonna throw me the ball.
He might. Okay, I'll give you that.
So,
but I'm gonna give my team 38.
Exactly.
And to your point, 14 takeaways over the last six games. That will work. That's how you win playoff games. That's how you win NFC championship games. That's even possibly how you win Super Bowls, as you know.
Yeah.
My team is on a scoreboard rocking roll.
Yeah.
That's what it is, because it will explode on people. And I don't have any fear of this being, as Jen pointed out, a potential trap game, because I think they'll just go out and do what they've been doing, because they are on a late season roll, and then they got to roll on to Jacksonville, which is a much more dangerous opponent, obviously, at Jacksonville.
I see what you're doing. You putting the cart. You putting the cart in front of the horse.
Yep,
Because all you talking about is Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Christmas Eve. Oh, we gonna take care of business. I mean, you gave Jacksonville like that a little passing thought.
I got my horses riding in the cart. Because I got so many horses, they don't even need to pull the cart. They're just riding in it.
Okay, you got it. Okay.
And it is a supercharged cart.
Okay, the horses are riding in the cart.
Riding in the cart. That's what's happening.
Okay.
I did the top of my podcast on this. I no longer fear any jinxes or any sort of historical.
You did this last year.
I did not. I didn't do it like
they're
this.
They're unjinxable.
No. Well, I said that at the end of the year. But again, this is beyond that. This is where, even when I said they're unjinxable, I still did all of my anti-jinxes.
Yeah.
Now I don't care what jersey I wear. I don't care which of the TVs I'm watching the Cowboys on. It used to be they got to be on the right TV or I lose.
Okay.
I'll put them on the left TV against Houston, and it won't matter. And it won't matter whether Hazel's in my lap or whether she's on the floor.
What about when they play the Eagles? Mm-hmm. Does it matter what TV they're going to be on in? I bet you it does. I bet you have on a certain type of jersey.
I have already guaranteed a victory over the Eagles, and I'm letting those words go out into the universe, and I dare them to come back to haunt me, because they won't.
Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae, y'all hear this?
Yep,
Flick,
they hear it. And you
Hard
know what?
Roll.
deep down Brandon in their Graham. Psyche, it's creating demons.
You remember what
demons are growing?
You remember what Slay, what Big Play Slay and Bradbury the Fourth did? You remember they did to CD?
Yeah, they almost lost to Cooper Rush.
You know, you remember what happened to CD? Did you remember what happened to CD?
He's a new guy. He has emerged.
Leg up.
Yeah, we'll see about
Lock
that.
Lock up.
Yeah. I predict the first play of the game, they'll throw it to 88. That's what I believe, because they've been getting him involved and in action mm-hmm. and in motion and in rhythm and in sync. That's what they've been doing.
He already know when he go to Philly, what
okay,
it is.
But you've been acknowledging he is on the rise.
Yeah. They finna take it down a notch.
Yeah.
You know, like Denzel said in training day, Pelican Bay,
yeah.
23-hour lockdown.
Okay.
When you step on the field, lockdown for 60.
Yeah, what happened to mm-hmm. Denzel at the end of that movie?
That's not y'all.
Who was it, the Russians or somebody?
The Russians
just shot
but
the hell out
But he been dirty. He had been here good. He finally caught up with me.
I'd say, well what the Russians did to Denzel, we're going to do to the Texans.
Okay.
Exactly that.
Okay.
That's going to be the microcosm of the scene. It's going to be,
okay,
right?
Okay,
that's what's
going to
happen to Texans.
You talking real big?
I am, because I believe in this team because it believes in it. That's the I don't have to believe it. I don't have to wish it. I don't have to hope mm-hmm. it. I don't have to pick it with my heart instead of my head. I just see what I see. Mm-hmm. And this team has firepower and emerging star
power. So
what
about Eagles? They got firepower?
Yeah, they're
okay. They what? Okay.
And what did you tell me before the year? Dak's better than Jalen Hurts. Did
Skip.
You not say that?
Skip.
I'm picking the Cowboys to win the East because they got a better quarterback. That's what Shannon Sharp, the Hall of Famer, told me before the season started.
Yeah, Skip. I believe Tom Brady is a better quarterback than Jared Goff, but I don't believe he's played better than Jared Goff.
Okay.
I believe coming into the season, Dak was a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. But no metric will tell you that Dak Prescott has played better than Hurts. So,
which I foretold. I told you Jalen Hurts is the realest of deals.
But you
and I respect him, but I no longer fear him.
But you told me you was also picking the Cowboys because of your quarterback. You picked them to win the division.
Well, you have to because of the quarterback in the end, right? But I also told you my team will go as far as my Micah 11 from heaven, and the defense carries my team. And I also believe
he can't have another game like he had Sunday.
No,
he got to get some tackles, some assists, some quarterback hits, some pressures, or something.
He's saving it. He didn't need them. You know what? He is funny like this. It's like when you need him, he suddenly says, "Oh, here I go. I'm gonna flip the switch."
Right.
But he doesn't do it every game. He doesn't flip it, and I think he's fallen slightly behind Mr. Bosa for Defensive Player of the Year.
I
and I'm with you on that. It's time to rise and shine. We still got a whole lot of football down the stretch to play, and we got a big Sunday, it's late afternoon game on Christmas Eve against said Eagles right here on Fox, and I'll be there. I'll be watching it. I'm going to be watching it on TV, but my point is I've already booked it. I was so confident after I did my podcast yesterday. You kept egging me on, and I finally said, okay, I'll give you 3 points because
I know
my team's going to win that by at least seven, if not 10.
Give me 3 more for 7.
Heck no. Heck no. I already gave in and gave you 3.
No, but your confidence, they're unjinxable. It don't matter. They should win by 20.
But the way you talk, Philly's going to come in as a 2-point favorite.
They're going to leave as a winner. I don't know how they come in, but I know how they're leaving.
Okay. We got 5 on it. You want to go up to 6 today just to make it an even 6?
Nope. I like 5. Huh?
You like 5?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know I'm right, because you're starting to see what I'm seeing about the Dallas Cowboys, because you picked 38-10.
Yeah. It's the Houston Texans.
Okay, listen, back in my gambling days, long ago gambling days, what was the biggest rule of thumb? What was lesson number one to be learned? Double-digit favorites starting at 10 points in the National Football League. Just take the points.
Yes.
Just take them, right?
I mean, look, I hated playing teams like the Houston Texans. But you know why, Skip? Because they throw caution to the wind. They go for it on fourth down. They'll onside kick you. They'll fake punch you. They'll fake field goal you. They ain't got nothing to lose. So they just throw all the caution to the wind, and now you got to be on your P's and Q's. Because normally you're like, okay, it's fourth and six. Oh, man, they're about to punt this ball.
Okay, I will also throw this to you. In the past, in some years, this has been considered a rivalry because it's a Texas rivalry, but it was always a one-sided rivalry because the Cowboys look at the Texans like, what? Even back to the Oiler days, like, who
cares? As a matter of fact, didn't they get their first win against the Cowboys? If I'm not mistaken, the Houston Texans, as we know them, got their first win against you guys.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, you do.
Maybe I've
you
deleted it, right? But the point is, they may come in thinking, we got, this is our arch rival. The Cowboys just look down their noses like, who the hell are you?
Texas ain't got no arch rival, yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's the Tennessee Titans because they were the... No, yeah, they don't have a rivalry.
Thank you. 38-10 as we continue our roll toward the NFC championship game.
Go 45-10.
No, I'm 38. I told you 28, and then I convinced you, I guess, because you said 21 yesterday, and then you went all the way up to 28.
Let me tell you why. Because, Skip, I was trying to say, okay, 21 points. Do I believe the Cowboys 28-7? I believe the Cowboys are going to score more than 28 points. You know what I'm saying? I believe, and so I'm trying to get to a number. I'm trying to get to a number where I can balance it out. I'm like, and I'm looking at how the Cowboys scored. They got 54, and they got 28, they got 40, they got 28, they got 49.
Yeah.
So even though I was like, nah, that's got 38 all over it.
Okay.
So I might be it might be 38-7.
Okay, you got it. The final thing I no longer want to hear a peep about is
what?
Cowboys do cowboy things.
They're cowboys.
That's a thing of past.
It's a verb,
past.
Cowboying.
Past.
Cowboy.
Okay, but that has nothing to do with the 2022 Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, it has everything to do with
it. No, it has nothing.
You try to
so
get that
are you telling me you just put that jersey on, all of a sudden you're going to do cowboy things?
Skip, y'all janky.
Mm.
Y'all already know. It's destiny. It's destiny. Mm. I speak of this. The ancestors have told me.
Yeah, we might be janky, but we're not jinxy.
Not jinxy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, is that you talking?
I'm talking big because... we got this. Got this. I don't have it. Got this.
When they get kicked out, you're going to be all depressed.
No,
you're going to be moping around.
They're not going to get kicked out.
The Ernestine was shattered.
I predicted the NFC championship game.
Can you take him to lunch and cheer him up? I'm like, Ernestine, I'm not going to be able to do that.
No, you won't need to do that. I might have to take you to dinner to cheer you up.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Skip is going to really hurt because you know why? It's been a long time since you talked this big. You talked this big that Dak's rookie year.
Yeah.
You talk really big. Skip, this is really going to hurt because you don't normally. You're like, I'm not going to jinx it. And you are, they're unjinxable.
Yeah.
Nothing. I wear whatever jersey I want. Sometimes, Chad, I don't even put a cowboy jersey on. I just wear a T-shirt. I said, oh, really? You don't put a jersey on. You wear a T-shirt right now. Okay.
I might have to take you to dinner to console you in Phoenix, Arizona, side of the Super Bowl on Fox. Because we'll be there,
and
you might be surrounded by a whole lot of Cowboy
fans. I know who
won't
be there.
Who will be tormenting you.
I know who will not be there.
Who?
Cowboys.
Because they do cowboy things.
Yeah, y'all cowboys.
They used to.
Yeah, they still do.
No. 27-year curse is about to be broken. NFC championship.
Against the Eagles, y'all have at least double-digit penalties.
Really?
At least.
Okay.
Bare minimum.
I'll go up to six cases if you want.
They got two games before that Eagles matchup, guys. And historical note... Yes, you were right. The Texans' first win ever came against the Cowboys. 19-10 was the score.
I can't.
All right. It is the age-old debate. Steph Curry asked about his all-time starting five. Steph included himself, but he left LeBron off the list. Here's Steph's list. Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Dirk Nowitzki, and Shaq. All right, Shannon, you first. How big of a problem do you have with this?
I got zero problem with it. LeBron doesn't have to be on everybody's list. We have to stop thinking someone is sliding or being disrespectful to LeBron if they leave them off their list. Mm. That's his list. I still believe LeBron is the GOAT. I believe LeBron is the greatest basketball player ever. But I don't have a problem with Steph Curry leaving him off. And if you listen to Steph explain it, he lets you know. He's like, look, I got great spacing, shoot the floor. Great spacing on the floor. I got Dirk. I have myself. I got a guy in Magic that can make all the passes, the greatest point guard of all time. I got Michael that hit the mid-range, can also drive the ball. And I got Shaq. Shaq going to hold it down in the paint. Should Kareem or Will or Bill Russell family feel slighted? Hell, Klay Thompson. Bruh, we won four championships together. You ain't got me on your starting five? No. Draymond, you ain't got Draymond? No. It's okay. It's not a...
I don't think they think they're going to be on the starting five.
Skip, look. It seems to me that he's putting a list together. It's like, I'm putting my list together. I'm actually trying to win a game. As opposed to just throwing guys together and say, well, this guy was the best guy at this position. This was the best guy at that position. And the team doesn't fit. So I got no problem whatsoever with Steph Curry leaving LeBron James off of his list. If you want to start in five to put LeBron, start your five and put LeBron on your list. But I don't have a problem. Would he be on my list? Absolutely.
Mm.
But I would have... my starting five would be Magic, Jordan, Tim Duncan, Kareem, and LeBron. That would be my starting five. But that's my starting five. Now, how good is that? Tim Duncan's on the block. You know, Kareem's going to be on the block. Ain't none of those guys. Tim can shoot the mid-range, but that, you know, he preferred to play with his back to the basket. Kareem definitely played with his back to the basket. So it's probably not the best fit. But that would be my starting five. And I ain't got no problem with Steph Curry's starting five. But so, I ain't trying to win no game. I just like best players.
So you would have Kareem over Shaq in your starting five?
I would, yeah.
And you would have LeBron over Kobe in your starting five?
Yeah, I put LeBron at the small forward. I put Tim at the power forward, and I put Jordan at the two. I put Magic at the point.
Okay. And you obviously would not have Steph Curry in your all-time starting five.
No, because I'm not putting him in over Jordan. I'm not putting him over Kareem.
Okay.
But I still think, but if somebody put Steph in the starting five, I mean, I ain't got no problem with it.
I would. But I had a problem with this whole premise because I'm reading the story and it says that Steph was on the list to begin with. So the former back-to-back MVP had to just pick four teammates he wanted to run with. And I'm like, he was? How did he get on the list? Or is it just assumed he would put himself in the starting five?
He's in there.
I don't know.
Because, you know, sometimes you say, okay, now I'm your starting five. And the first thing they ask, can I include myself? And they're like, yeah, you can. If you want to, say, no, I'm going to leave myself out. And that's what a lot of times they leave themselves out. But I like the fact that Steph Curry put himself in there. Hell, I wish more people would put themselves on the starting five. You know, you ask Brady, Brady going to probably say, it's probably going to be Joe or somebody. No, put yourself on the list. You deserve to be on the list.
Okay, good. Now, why did he leave LeBron off? Remember back in the day when they first began to compete against each other in finals back in 2015?
15, yeah.
There was much written about, much speculated about, the sort of jealousy or resentment that began to emanate between, it was coming from Steph to LeBron, because right. LeBron was already obviously established, but that there was some negativity emanating from Steph's side toward LeBron.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to assume that you can read into this that there's still some jealousy factor or resentment factor between those two, or he just would have. Usually, what do you always tell me? You put your contemporaries in because you believe that we are better than they were because we evolved. We're just, our whole game has evolved to a higher level than their game was.
I don't think they have the type of relationship, the adversarial relationship, because obviously they're competing against each other. But I think they have a much better respect, a profound respect for one another, because the last two seasons, LeBron has been their all-star captain, and he selected Steph Curry.
Okay.
So I think
Steph... Was he just trying to play up to him?
Well, I think the thing is, LeBron was here. Steph is coming. Let's get back. Get back. I want you to get up on... Get back! I'm not trying to let you get up on the mantle with me just yet. So I'm fighting you off. I'm trying to keep you at arm's length, at arm's distance.
Yep.
But Steph was able to climb up anyway. Well, hell, if you're up here anyway, I might as well just, okay, you're here now.
Okay. What was Steph's line about the possibility of acquiring LeBron at Golden State?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay, well, that told me I don't want to do that. Yet it was Steph who led the charge all the way across the country to recruit Kevin Durant to come save them from LeBron because they just knew what was coming. They were going to have to deal with LeBron at least one, if not two more years, and it was two more years, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he did that, which to me disqualified him as an all-time top 10 player.
No, you got to put him in there because after what he did this year, he won the finals MVP. He has two regular season MVP. He has four titles. Yes, Skip, I think now you have to put him in the top 10, and you had to bump some of the historically great players out. And he's still going. It's not to say that he's done. It's not like he's done. Look, excuse me. I think when you think two guards, Mike is universal. I think when you think point guards,
Magic.
I think Magic is universal.
Absolutely.
Skip, I don't look at Steph as a point. I don't. Because they're running.
He tried to sell it as we'd have hybrid guards, and I'm saying, you ain't that guy. Yeah, that guy's going to have the ball in his hands.
Because Draymond normally initiates the offense.
Agreed.
Around the offense.
Agreed.
So when I look
Not that Steph doesn't have a great handle, and he does.
Tremendous handle.
He does.
But when I look at these guys in today's game, James Harden, Dame Lillard, Skip, those guys are two guards masquerading as points.
Correct.
And same thing with Steph. So I don't have a problem with LeBron being left off his list. But if I had a list, going on it.
So if I had a list, this is who my list would be.
Okay.
It would start with the greatest player ever, the greatest of all time,
okay,
and
you got
ain't
Jordan.
Even close.
Jordan.
So that guy is at the top.
Okay.
Magic is my point guard, and it's not even close.
Okay.
Because Jordan is as universal as Magic is, to your point.
Right.
Then Shaq is just the most destructive force I've ever witnessed.
I'm not mad at you for putting Shaq.
Okay, it's like I saw for 3 years, I saw unstoppable, I saw unguardable, I saw unrefereeable.
Right.
I've just never seen anything like it because
right.
he was the equivalent of a Lawrence Taylor football player.
Playing basketball.
With extreme basketball skill.
He was
extreme.
He was nimble. You're never going to see a man that size
nimble.
Move like that.
Okay, so I always say, just to my eye test, I'm going to give Shaq a slight edge over a Kareem who was all he is the greatest scorer ever until LeBron eclipses
right.
it. But again, the skyhook was virtually unstoppable.
Yes.
It's either he's going to make it or miss it because you're not going to block it.
Correct.
Okay. All right, but again, just on the terror factor, I'm going with Shaq slightly over Kareem, and you got Kareem in there. And if I got Shaq going head-to-head with Kareem, I believe Shaq wins that battle on a nightly basis.
Okay.
Then this is interesting to me because you put the great Tim Duncan, the greatest power forward ever, you put him in, and I want to put him in just because I'm a longtime Spurs fan, and he belongs in here. But if I'm actually trying to do a starting five
right.
that will work together,
right.
run together, I don't know if he and Shaq are the best fit together because they do too much of the same thing.
They on the block.
They need to camp. And I don't need two campers, right?
right.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
But Duncan is great at what he did. And he's in my top five. 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got him fifth all time in my all-time top 10. Okay. But I got Kobe as my other shooting guard, my other wing. So I got Jordan and Kobe on the wings.
Okay.
And if I don't, if I want to do fit, I'm going with your favorite player when you were a kid. I'm going Larry Joe Bird in my starting lineup just because I've got Jordan and Kobe on the wings. I got Shaq commanding the paint. Magic, obviously, is the point guard. But if I got Bird as my swing man, my sort of power forward at 6'9", and just you want to talk about a great passer and scorer and just all-around know-how-to-play basketball player, clutch.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would stick him. If I wanted to have an invincible starting five, that's my starting five, and Tim Duncan would have to be my sixth man.
No, they just showed that I was watching the clip of Larry Bird. Yeah. He played Portland. And he scored 47 points with his left hand. And they said, why? He said, I was saving the right for the Lakers. So, Skip, I mean, look, I agree with you. I think when you say, okay, who's your all-time great, who's your best point guard? Magic's going to check. Who's your best two guard? Jordan's going to check. Who's the best power forward, Skip? I believe Tim Duncan is going to check, considering the five titles, the MVPs, the finals MVP.
Really,
I believe he checks that.
It came real close to six.
Correct. Now, here's where it gets interesting. I believe LeBron James is the greatest small forward. You think it's Larry Bird. I'm sure Kevin Durant is going to get some of that. Now, here's the thing, though, Skip. When it's all said and done, will Tim Duncan still be universal, or will Giannis swipe some of that?
Maybe some down the road.
But where it's all over the place, Skip, is the center. Because some people got Wilt, some people got Shaq, some people got Mr. Russell, some people got Kareem. That is the one position.
I would go with Mr. Russell, except he's only 6'9".
Right.
He was undersized for his time, but he dominated the 7'1" Big Dipper Wilt Chamberlain.
Did he win more or was he better?
Well, it's hand in hand.
Because, I don't know, Skip. But it's got to be universal. Greatest small forward ever lived. How can you not be? You about to be top five in assists, number one in scoring, with four MVPs, four finals MVPs.
Well, Steph got one thing right on his list, no Bron.
And I knew you was going to be your hater. You just a flat-out hater.
Next.
And guess what? That playoff scoring record, it ain't going nowhere.
No.
It ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, he just played more games.
Whoa. That ain't got nothing to do with it.
Yep.
And he played them well, too, didn't he?
I want to know if he's even going to play tonight.
We're going to play tonight. Going to put that thing on Philly.
Okay.
Going to crack the Liberty Bell.
That is a great question. And we're going to dive into that in a minute, guys.
We've
got to leave a little bit of time for that.